So said, I've given Minchas Chinuch here for a number of years here. Before we restarted, then we took a little break and we restarted again. But I never gave this mitzvah before. It's the Shela Anosh HaAnos. It's mitzvah Tavkuf Nun Vav. It's hiding in Pashas Kitzeitse. But it's interesting that we're going to see that this is the counting of the Rambam, and the Ramban does not even count this as one of the mitzvahs. And we'll see that's also interesting, you know, to note that there are differences in the, we know there are differences in the counting of the mitzvahs in the Rambam and the Ramban had to count the 613 mitzvahs. Everyone agrees that 613. The question is, name that tune, so to speak, or name that mitzvah. Mitzvahs are tunes, are beautiful, are sweet, right? So, and the Rambam counts it as one of the 613, and the Ramban does not. Not that he disagrees on the principle, but he disagrees, he doesn't feel, the Ramban doesn't feel this is counted as one of the mitzvahs. There are certain mitzvahs in the Torah that the Rambam and the Ramban actually dispute whether a certain thing is forbidden biblically or rabbinically. For instance, prayer every day, davening every day. The Rambam says it's a biblical mitzvah. You obligate him in the Torah to pray once a day. You know, you could pray in any language, any, you know, short prayer, and, you know, based very few ingredients are necessary for that prayer, and you can fill your mitzvah with Torah. The Ramban says, no, there's no biblical obligation to pray every day. There's rabbinic obligation, okay? That's the type of mitzvah they argue in, actually, if that's a biblical mitzvah or not a biblical mitzvah. Obviously, over there, there are Gemaras that say, La'ovdo b'cholavavchem, zeh tefillah. The question is that a real drusha, or that's just like an asmachta? So obviously that's over there a dispute. Over here, the question is, do you count this as one of the mitzvahs? Now, what is this going on? What pasuk in this Torah is going on? The pasuk here is talking about if a lady was raped, a married lady was raped, terrible, terrible sin, terrible aveira was done, and the lady was raped. And the pasuk, let's say she was out in the field, and no one could hear her scream because it was in the field. Probably she was tending to the flock, and she was raped. And the pasuk says, "Ulanara lo sasa dava." You don't do anything to the young girl. The fact that she had relations that were forbidden, but she was forced. You can't hold her liable. You can't do anything to her. There's nothing. There is no penalty for her at all. So now, that the question is. So the Pasuk says, the Torah says you should not do anything to her. So how do you understand that? Do you understand that the Pasuk is talking to the Beis Din, to the court, telling the court, you know, so certain times we tell the court you have to mete out certain punishments. And here we're telling the court, leave her, you're not allowed to do anything to her. You're not allowed to do anything to her. Because she's innocent. Is that the instruction here? That's how the Rambam understands. The Ramban understands, it's not that, it's more like the, it's just saying that she, it's not telling us that you're to refrain from punishing her, that they were instructing the court to refrain from punishing her. It's more saying that nothing happens to the, she's exempt. The lady is not guilty of anything. She's not obligated anything. Not that we're talking to the court so much. We're talking regarding this lady. Is this lady, is she responsible for anything that happened? We say no. She's not responsible, so to speak. She didn't do anything. So that's the question. How to understand this pasuk? She's innocent. The pasuk says she's innocent. It's not. Nothing happened, so she's innocent. She's innocent. That's what the pasuk is saying. Is it the pasuk saying that she's innocent, or that the pasuk is saying that the Beis Din is now let her punish? What's the focus? That seems to be the difference of opinion. Yes.
Does this mean that the people who hold the second opinion that it's just more like a parish?
It's more like
than a mitzvah.
Right, more than a mitzvah. It's more just saying that the pasuk is just telling you that this lady's innocent.
So in other words, the people who hold that would not count it in the Tarya mitzvah.
Exactly. The Ramban doesn't, as that is the dispute, the Ramban does not count this as a Tarya mitzvah. So he'll have other things to, he'll have other mitzvahs to fill in, you know, to fill in, what's this, for the 613. He'll find it. That's not a problem. Okay. Well, there are certain rules. Everyone has different rules. What they understand are the rules to be counted as a 613. So let's see the chinuch. Shenemna'anu, we're reading the Sefer Chinuch first, and on the sides is the Minchas Chinuch.
Can I just interrupt you?
Yes.
The Rambam is the one that holds that this is directed to Beis Din.
Correct.
And what is the situation that it deals with? If the husband comes with a taina to Beis Din, or where the wife?
I don't think this, you have to look at the circle. I don't think the husband comes with a taina, not over here. I think it's just...
How does it come to Beis Din? There's a direction. In what
Let's say that they find the person who committed the act to her, he has to be prosecuted. The person who raped her has to be prosecuted, but not the girl. Because this young married girl, this young married lady, was a victim. And that's, and I think the pasuk contrasts when, you know, sometimes, you know, if it's in the field, I mean, she didn't want it, but if it's in the city and she didn't scream, there's more concern that maybe she wanted it, and therefore this might be different, the law, if she's accepted it, she wanted that relationship. So, she'll loddin es mishu who honors b'chit shiyase. We have to refrain, but we shouldn't punish someone who is an onus, someone who is forced. Kloma, she'ein lonu la'onus shum adam b'davar she'yase oso akarcho. You can't force anybody, can't punish anyone for anything that was done against their will. Ba'alzeh ne'ma, that's what the Pasuk says, l'nara lo sasadav. You don't do anything to the young girl. Zehu lav, this lav kolel includes, it's a general statement, kol mi shu onus bepula ra. She asks, anyone who was forced with a bad deed, someone forced someone to eat not kosher. At gunpoint, whatever it might be, she ain't learning honor shall say, but you can't punish that person. Befamish onus the chol of racham shachsan hedin, it's saying shachsan hedin. Onus rachmana patre. It's a famous statement. Everyone knows. Most people heard this statement in Hawaii Island. This is just the meeting of the lawyers. Onus rachmana patre. The onus, the Torah makes you pater. Makes you onus. Torah says an onus is pater. Someone is forced is pater from punishment. Shenema lenaro lo sasadava. This is the source. The source is from this pasuk of lenaro lo sasadava. That's the source for all over in Shas that an onus, that person who's an onus, doesn't get punished. Now, what would you think otherwise? The question is, what would you think otherwise? I mean, they don't usually there's if you need a pasuk to tell you that you don't do that punishment, there's a swear that you might think maybe there should be some sort of punishment. Yes. Okay. So very good. So we're going to talk about that. So in the Minchas Chinuch, there are certain mitzvahs that the Torah says a person has to be willing to give their life rather than transgress those mitzvahs. There's three mitzvahs that the Torah says a person has to be willing to give their life. Meaning the general rule is the Torah says v'chai b'hem. You have to live by the Torah is for you to live. To live through the Torah. If the Torah is not that a person should die through the Torah. The Torah is given for us to live. And therefore, if someone says it takes a gun, we might have a cop coming to the class soon, but he's not the type of guy to do that. If someone takes a gun, you know, I once said there's a cop that sometimes comes to the class, and I once said, you got to give it the best shot, but not this guy's shot. You know? So, someone takes a gun and says you have to eat not kosher food. So the law is you eat the not kosher food. You don't have to give up your life. If it's life and death in order to prevent yourself from eating not kosher. But there are three things, the big three. Give your arayish, because gama vodazara. Someone says live with a married lady, have a relation with her, or else I'll kill. Or else reason will kill Shimon. Shimon has to be willing to be killed rather than to live with someone else's wife. Someone says worship of the Zohar, so you're willing to give their life rather than worship of the Zohar. Someone says either kill Levi, Reuven says to Shimon, kill Levi or I'll kill you Shimon. Shimon has to be willing to kill him. Can't go ahead and shoot Levi just to save his life. What makes your blood redder than the other guy's blood? So therefore, those are only three. Now, what happens also in that case? In those three cases, when Bezdin, when the Torah says give up one's life, for those three, and he didn't give up his, and he did not listen, he didn't give up his life, does he get punished? He said here, the lady, now, the lady over here at this point, here it wasn't a question, the lady was forced, she couldn't, it wasn't a question of, Aaron, come close. And also the lady is different, because the lady is being passive. Generally speaking, we would say that a lady would not have to give up her life, a married lady, if someone would force her, you would not have to give up her life in order to prevent living with another man or else get killed. We would say she doesn't have to give up her life. Why? Because she's not doing, she's being more, a lady in the act of a much more passive act. She's not actively more as involved. And therefore, she's not doing, she's more on the receiving end and more on the action end. And therefore, she would not have to give up her life. A man who's being, is more on the active, he has to give up his life. Yes.
Does that include if a woman has an opportunity to take her own life?
To take her own life?
In other words, if a woman is raped, then it's obvious to say that she has no chance to she took no part in the Avera.
Right. Well, she was forced.
Right. Physically forced.
Right.
But if a woman knows that she's going to be raped and has a chance to take her own life.
I don't think she's allowed to take her own life.
Really? I see.
I don't think she's allowed to take her own life. We have to see, even a man who has to be willing to be killed, mm-hmm. does it mean that he should kill himself? That's a different question. That's something that needs to be looked into, and that's a different question. But a man, we said, has to let himself be killed rather than violate someone else's life. Now the question Benji brought up, the question is, when the Torah instructs us to give up our life, and the person did not get up to the plate and do it and follow, he was supposed to. It says, supposed to give up their life, and he wasn't able to. Would Bezdin punish? And then Bezdin finds out, and the guy was warned with two witnesses. Two witnesses said to the guy, "Listen, you can't live with that lady. You have to give up your life rather than live with that lady." And he says, "No, I'm not willing to give up my life." Or, you know, if you worship Avodah, you have to be willing to give up your life rather than worship Avodah Zarah. And he didn't get up to the plate, and he decided to worship the Avodah Zarah. And he was warned. Would Bezdin go ahead and kill the guy? That was warned and everything. So it would seem to be two of the three, Bezdin would not get involved. If he killed somebody else, or he worshipped Avodah Zarah, instead of giving his own life, he was threatened with life or death, and he killed someone to protect his own life, or he worshipped Avodah Zarah to protect his life, Bezdin will not kill him. Because he wasn't ones, he was forced. Even though on the one hand he was forced, but he was asked to be, you know, not to give in to the force. But being that he was forced, Bezdin won't kill him. However, the third case, living with a married lady, that there's a difference of opinions in the Rishonim. Whether the person was forced with a gun, at gunpoint, or somebody either live with her, I'm going to kill her. Even live with her, I'm going to kill her. Whether Bezdin would actually kill her man if he was warned not to live with that lady. What's unique about this? Why should this be different than Avodah Zarah? Why should this be different than murder? Oh. So because having doing the act of living with a lady takes a certain that a man needs to be have a it's something that to the opinion of one of the opinions is because in order to be able to do the for the man to do the act he has to have a certain amount of wanting to do it. If he would be totally forced, he wouldn't be able to. It would be hard for him to actually do the act. So there's an opinion that says that therefore there was some also desire and wanting in order to be able to actually commit that actual act. Actually, and therefore he's going to be responsible for that. In the Rishonim, there seems to be. The Minchas Chinuch presents three different opinions. The Rambam, there seems to be. The Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah, learns that Bezin will not kill him. Bezin will not kill the guy. But he's obligated death, but Bezin won't kill him. The Sefer HaChinuch understands that Bezin will actually kill the guy. And other Rishonim hold, many Rishonim hold, that since he was forced, he would be potter. It's not Chayav Mis at all. He just violated a commandment, meaning this commandment, what is the punishment for this commandment? The Torah says give up one's life rather than live with a married lady, and he didn't listen. What is the punishment? What is the punishment of worship of the Torah when you shouldn't, the Torah says worship of the Torah rather than, don't get person let himself be killed rather than worship of the Torah. What is the punishment? It's not the same punishment as a normal circumstance. The only question here is, if a person lives with a married lady, do we say that that's called, that it will actually get this punishment of death? Because in order that he was able to finish the act, he had to have some sort of willingness to the act. Do we say he's totally not obligated to death? Or do we say there's a middle ground? He's obligated to death, but not obligated enough of death that Bezin will actually kill him. These are the three different possibilities of that case. But Avodah Zarah and murder, he's not, if he commits Avodah Zarah or does murder in order to save his life, Bezin will not kill the guy for it. I mean, I don't know what goes on in the courts. I don't know what, how do you look at all these.
Yeah, and also, in this situation, is the woman, is she a willing participant? It could be such a situation. The woman is a willing participant.
It could be, right, it could be.
And so what does the Beis Din do for her? According to the opinion that says Beis Din won't punish the man, what does that opinion say about the willing female?
I think she would get killed. Here the Torah only says that Lanara, the girl, doesn't get killed. Is because she is not a willing participant. But a lady who's a willing participant. Excellent. So, but if the lady is a willing participant. Okay, whatever. Excellent. So, lady would be a willing participant, she's obligated to death. And she would be obligated to death just like the man. That's why. The only. I think it would come out like that. The only difference would be. That when it comes to should someone give their life in order not to violate this commandment, right? Meaning, like we said, the way both men and women are instructed that a married lady is not allowed to live with another man. If she lives with another man, she's obligated to death. If she's warned, she's living with another, she's obligated to death. But the question is, does she have to give her life if someone would go ahead? That's if she willingly lives another man. You know, I'm going to get at in Mitzvah Lamed Hay, where the Torah says you're not allowed a little sin off. That's this week's key Mitzvah. It says here in the Chinuch that from the Gemara Sanhedrin, someone lives with a married lady, both with consent, both get chenek. Both get the punishment of chenek, which is strangulation. That's the punishment that both will get. That's if if she was a fully married lady, they had nisuin. And if she was a nara murasa, she had erusin. She was betrothed. The husband gave her a ring. In the olden days, they would give her a ring. And she said, Haram Gadeshes. And 12 months later, they would actually take her into the house. But once she gives her a ring, they're married. But certain things, they're not, you know, yet fully in all matters. But they're considered married, and the punishment is even stronger. And obviously, there's a reason for that. Okay, so that they would both get skila if it was both with consent that someone else went with someone's wife who already was betrothed. The husband already gave her a ring, and they said, "Hi, I'm a kadesh." It's late. The fact that he didn't bring her into the house yet, and that's what probably where it might have been more common to have the problem. Because you could have you could understand why there'd be more of a problem. It'd be more common that people would be, you know, if a lady in the olden days, the guy would come to a town, you know, he'd give her, you know, whatever he likes her, whatever. It looks like they would give her a Hariat Mekadeshes Li and betrothed. They had Aresin. They didn't bring her into the house yet. They would take like 12 months. We're not recommending long engagement with that. 12 months generally was to them to get ready, to prepare a house, to set up a, not like today, 1, 2, 3, boom. You know, they set up a house and everything else. And then they actually had the Nisuin, the Chuppah, 12 months later. You can imagine a girl, now she had the Kedushin, she's still in her father's house. But she was old enough to get married, and yet she's not yet with the husband. She's not having normal, you know, relations that her husband has, because she only had Aresin. She didn't have Nisuin yet. So it could be she's easier for someone, and there's no one watching it, but her father's house. She doesn't have a husband yet. You could see more of a problem that could be possibly more problems happening. But that's what both are chayiv, correct. So that both would be chayiv misa. If it's with consent. See, they talk about the question with Esther. That's where I'm assuming we're going to have Purim. That's where the Gemara talks about Esther. Why didn't Esther give up her life? She was a married lady. So okay, we have to look into, you know, did Mordechai give her a get or whatever, but whatever it was, if she didn't have the get yet, so how could she be willing to live with Ahasuerus and not give up her life? So one of the answers is that she's being passive. She was forced, and she's being passive. She's not being active in the act. Okay? But a man who's active in the act, he has to give up his life rather than to violate such a person. But the question is, if he didn't give up his life, will he get punished? And for that, that's our discussion here. Is that clear? There's a lot running around here, right? Yes.
In all these cases that we're talking about, it seems like there's different meanings to the word being forced. That we're using the word forced here to describe things which are very different from one another. For instance, if someone is bound and tied, you know, and that's much different than if a person, see, in other words, it seems like the principle of being killed in Yehareg below Yavor or whatever.
Yeah, Yehareg Dayan. Because let himself get killed rather than transgress this.
It seems like that describes a person who's threatened with death.
Okay.
And that's one case. A person is threatened with death. And if they don't comply, then that's one case. But you know, let's say a person, you have two guys on each side of a person, and you say worship this ball, and you know he's forced down. Two guys grab his leg, and two guys grab his shoulders. He's forced down and forced to prostrate, you know, in front of the ball. I mean that's like an on the scum word, and he has no opportunity to resist.
Right.
If but that's one case. If someone says, "Look, you worship this ball, And if you don't, we'll
murder that person.
Okay. And that's another case. Another case. A third thing is that you worship this ball, and then the guy can on his own God say, I don't want to.
What would he do to him if he says he doesn't want to?
Well, that's. I mean,
that's not called being forced. If someone, very good. You get into another area.
Okay,
if I tell somebody to sin, and that person, I say, I'm instructing you to sin. I hire you to sin. I want to pay you to sin. I want you to be my hitman, right? Or I tell you have to sin. I push you to sin. You have no right to listen to them. You know, I mean, the question is, you're asking what's called force. If I tell you I want you to sin, I'm instructing you to sin, I'm telling you to sin, you have to say, I don't listen to you. Well, you tell, you know what you can't tell, I have to listen to God. You ever hear? We listen to a higher authority. I don't listen to you, I listen to a higher authority. So the fact that someone encourages you to sin, tells you to sin, that's not an excuse to sin, and that's not called an honest at all. Because you have to be able to say, I'm not listening. A father tells his son, don't return the lost object. The Torah says return the lost object. Don't return the lost object. You don't listen to your father. Father's telling you not to keep the Torah. You don't listen to your father. He's your father. You don't hear Torah, but if he's going against the Torah, and even though he's your father, you can't listen. There's times you can't listen to your father. Even though there's some sort of pressure. Now your question is, if a guy doesn't listen to his father, is that called an honest? The question is, what was the father going to do to the guy if he don't listen to me? See, really, he wasn't supposed to listen to his father. But does he fall into the case of honest that we said, if you weren't supposed to listen, but you were forced, you know, if, you know, when anything happened to you? Okay, so that's something based on here. Anything that a person's forced, he's not going to get punished for if it's really forced. What's called really forced? Okay, here we're talking about physical harm.
So, I'm talking about a case.
But,
see, that's what I don't understand is this forced, being threatened is much different than being
physically
tied down. You know, somebody's tied down into a prostrating position.
No, that's not
in front of a protozoa.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about the guy is not tied down. The guy says to move in, I'm going to blow the guy's, we get Reuven's whatever out, as they say, I don't want to say it.
Right.
His brain's out, as they say. It's not a nice terminology for you.
This isn't a nice situation.
If you don't go ahead and, you know, rush your devil, that's what it's talking about.
Right.
They'll come after you. He was forced. In the same way, he was forced there. I was going to come after him. Is that really called force or not? He doesn't really go, the Mishnah doesn't really focus on this. It's definitely a good question to look at. You know, what's called force? Very valid question. I presume what society would consider as being forced should be considered force.
If it's a big threat,
you
wouldn't be allowed to.
But you know, some people don't, there's been a lot of vague threats that people, you know, they didn't take seriously and there hasn't been a good, you know. Right, it's a good. Okay, Yara by Yara, he was supposed to let himself get killed, even if it was a real threat.
So in that case, he would have to.
That case, he definitely would have to let himself get killed. But what about a case that says something that's not a deterrent violation? It was some sort of threat. But this is a very good question. A parent threatens a kid. What's called a real threat? If a parent would call a first again, the kid did not do the mitzvah because he felt he was forced by his parents. Would he be exempt because he was by that called force? Or not? Right? That's a good question. What? They don't have Yerai Vayah. Right, they don't have. Right, it's a little threat. Right. Right? Could be. Right? But people have to be realistic in what's called the real threat. Now,
there's a din or not on the train, right? By alone. So
if you look at the Minchas Chinuch,
right? So same thing over by the din, by Chomani.
So he starts off and he says, look at the beginning of Minchas Chinuch. Shema'anu she'yogim misho anos. Review the Rambam Perichot Misahed of Halacha Beis. It's explained in the Rambam. You want to know where to find it? Look in the Rambam Perichot Misahed. Perich Beis Misahed Torah. Halacha Dal. Perich Al Beis Suri Bi Halacha Tes. Hine. After Shalosh Aveiru Shehadin Shehereg Al Yav. The three Aveirus. At the Torah. Yes.
What's
in the Torah? Mitzvah Tov Kuf Nun Vav.
Yes.
In the Minchas Chinuch.
In one. First
beginning of Minchas Chinuch.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse me, a few lines in. Vine, after Shalosh Aveirus Shehadin Shehereg Al Yav, and the three Aveirus that you have to give a person to give his life, Mikomokom Im Ova Eino Shinaso. If he transgressed, he doesn't get punished, even though you're supposed to give his life. But he didn't give his life. He didn't do what he was supposed to, but he doesn't get punished. Rak, Begiri Arias, by living with a married lady, that's a Rambam, the Sanhedrin Khan, the Rambam in Sanhedrin, the Das Haram Muhammad, the Chayiv Misa. They both agree that he would be Chayim Misa. The Ein Kishri Elul Adas. So they're able to have relations with the lady. It happened he had to have some sort of willingness. Chikos of Berochas Isuri Bi Iskan. Of Adas Habi Rishonim. Many Rishonim hold. Kivon Shemachmas Onis Misa Miskasha. Since he was threatened by death if he wouldn't live with her. Even though he might have had certain, in order to be able to have that relations, he had to have certain to get some willingness of some sort, but he's potter. Remove the Rav HaMagid, Beruchas Yisuri, be Risham. And then he says, Ayatosis Yivomis, Perek Abol Yivimtov, Ayatosis Mishnah, Shekosov the Chayiv Misa. They say Chayiv Misa, Mikomokot Ema Sisal of a Bezin. Bezin will not kill the guy who lives with the lady. The Yoshayach Hasra Kivish Oanos. You can't really warn the guy, don't do it. How could he? He's forced. You warn a guy, what does it seem to me? I warn you, don't do this sin. What do you mean you warn me not to do the sin? I'm not in control not to do this sin because I'm being forced to do this sin. But in order to kill a guy has to have a warning. A warning means that you know what you're going to do is wrong. And he's on this, like it says that a warning is to make sure you can't say, I didn't know. You can't kill a guy because I didn't know the murder is forbidden. I didn't know I can't eat not kosher. You can't give the guy lashes for eating not kosher. He says, I didn't know. But you give him a warning, so he knows. But and now, if you give a guy a warning, he's saying, so he knew he shouldn't do it, and he did it. But this guy, you give the guy a warning, but he's not doing this willingly. He's forced. So therefore, that's what the Kesef Mishnah wants to say, that if a guy is warned and he's being forced, you can't kill the guy for such a... But the Minchas Chinuch is going to question that. What do you mean? You warned him. You told him you have to let yourself get killed. Because you can't live with this married lady. So, yeah, he got warned and he still went through with it. He should get killed. Let's see what he says. And the Kesef Mishnah, who was written by Rav Yosef Cairo, who was the Mechav of Shulchan Aruch, who wrote the Beis Yosef, he's dying came to Lashon HaRambam. He wants to say this diyak from the Rambam. Shekosim, listen to this Rambam, diyak from the Rambam, this is like a real diyak. The Halacha Beis, he says, Ein Bezim and Misim. Halacha Beis, by a certain case, says Bezim won't kill. But by Arias, when it comes to Arias, he doesn't talk about Bezdin. He says Chayav Misa. Doesn't say Bezdin will kill him. He says he's Chayav Misa. Doesn't mention Bezdin. The court, Jewish court. Well, of course it's Bezdin.
You mean Bezdin? Bezdin,
right.
That's like a name. Bezdin.
Mira direct Chayav Misa of all in there. The Kefanisha wants to say there is no Bezdin will not kill the guy, except he's obligated to death. The Khan, the Divrei HaRav Mechaber, Kosav, the Mishnah said, the Mechaber said he would kill him. But he would say that HaBezin, Holiness, Bezin would kill him. Well, man, the Kosav, because Mishnah said, you can't apply a warning to the guy. What do you mean you can't apply a warning? Lomino Shayach, why isn't it possible? Master, so you warn the guy. You tell the guy, listen, if you live with this married lady, the guy is forcing you. But if you live with her, you're gonna get that. That guy, you're gonna get that for it because you're not allowed to do that. So he says, Ayin Perik, okay. Ayin Perik, here we say the Torah. Meloshin Aramba, Mishavir, near the Gamke, Bezin would kill him. Ayin Tos Yuma, okay.
So we're saying
the movement Chaschila spells, you know, unabbreviates all the most of the hard abbreviations. Yeah. So we're going to skip a little bit to the last line, the last part of the Minchas Chinuch. If I can look in yours, where it will be.
We were holding here. Holding
here. So this is paragraph. Paragraph B. Base. Mekosav Harav Mechaber. Well, in Malkus or so. Now listen to what the Mechaber says. The Mechaber says that. Okay, the way the Rambam learns this mitzvah is that Bezdin, the court, the Jewish court, is instructed not to punish a person who was forced to do a sin. Okay, besides the big three, Bezdin, and even the big three, we said, two of the three Bezdin are instructed not to punish. And the third one, if the big three is supposed to give his life, he says it's a matter of discussion whether Bezdin does get involved in that. But let's talk the case of the Torah. The lady was raped. She was forced. She was forced. She wasn't offered an option. She was forced. Torah says you don't do anything to her. Torah instructs the court. What happened if the court did not listen? The court went ahead.
Let's give a different
example. Let's say the court went ahead and gave lashes to someone that was forced to eat not kosher. Someone was forced to eat not kosher. So you're not supposed to do anything to the guy that was forced to eat not kosher. But Bezdin instructed the guy, you know, they had a court, called Shliach Bezdin, the guy who would actually meet out the lashes. Bezdin and it told him, give the person lashes. But they shouldn't have told him to give the person lashes. The Torah says, don't punish a person who was forced, and you punish a person for it. So does Bezdin get lashes for it or not? Does Bezdin get lashes for transgressing this prohibition? Torah says, don't punish a person who was forced. And Bezdin actually went ahead and punished a person who was forced. So, now, what is the rule by Allah? When the Torah says, don't do something, will a person get malchus if he's told not to do something? So the general rule is, most of the time, somebody that has no action, a lav that doesn't have any action, he will not get, person will not get killed for, not get punished by court. Meaning if a person goes in, Torah says you're not allowed to hurt someone else's feelings, right? Not allowed to verbal abuse, it's forbidden in the Torah. The Torah says you're not allowed to hurt a widow or an orphan, or really any Jew, you're not allowed to verbally pain him with words. You tell a Baal Tshuva, remember your olden days? Remember where you went, what you did? Forbidden in that Torah. And a person goes and he does that, would the guy get malchus for that? No. Why not? Because it's not an action. He didn't do an action. He spoke words. So words, generally we don't look at words as an action. There are a few exceptions. A person curses somebody. There are certain excuses. There are certain exceptions for the rule. But generally words, he will not get punished by the court. God will take it. God has his own account. Well, I'll go try to take care of it. It's very dangerous if people deal with widows and orphans. They're going to be extra careful how they talk to them. The Torah is, God is extra strong with people who don't take care of people who are very strong and verbally abused widows and orphans. But the question here is, this prohibition, Benson could have told the guy, give the guy lashes. So Benson, who would be common, could violate this prohibition through doing an action or through words? Really through words. They told the guy to give a punishment. They told the guy to give a punishment, but they themselves didn't give the punishment. Now, what about even if Benson themselves gave the punishment? Would Bezdin itself get lashes because of this prohibition, this lav? Because sometimes if a person violates multiple lavin, multiple prohibitions, there's multiple lashes. Now, if you hit somebody that you're not supposed to hit, there's punishment for that. But that's what there's a special law, special prohibition. Torah says that you're not allowed to give an extra lash. Torah says give 39 lashes to a person who is obligated lashes, and Torah says lo yosif, don't give an extra one. They give an extra one for good luck. If the guy gives an extra one for good luck, he's going to get lashes. You give him an extra one, right? That's the thing. Once we give him, maybe a dollar of one. But now, if the question is, if Bezdin would go ahead and perform punishment to someone who was forced, could they get punished, get lashes, because they violated this prohibition? So the Sefer HaChinuch says no. Why? Because his opinion is any prohibition that can be violated without an action, even when you do an action, you will not get lashes. Any prohibition that can be violated without doing an action, you can't eat not kosher without an action. Eating not kosher always means an action. Therefore, a person gets mocked, gets lashes. But if some sort of prohibition that Torah gave, you transgress it with an action sometimes, and sometimes without an action, you could be in violation. Sounds like a terminology. Violation, right? If you're in violation, but you could be violating this prohibition, whether with an action, without action, then even when you do the action, the Chinuch says you don't get lashes. That is the Chinuch's opinion. So therefore, the Chinuch says there won't be any lashes here. If Bezdin would go ahead and instruct somebody, Bezdin would get lashes because of their instruction, because they didn't do an action. And he goes ahead and he would say, even if they did an action themselves, they would not get lashes because of this prohibition. They would give them lashes because of a different prohibition, that's what it says. But they would not get it because of this prohibition. Because this prohibition could be violated without an action. Is that clear or not? If you're the Bezdin, because it's talking to Bezdin, and Bezdin tells the shliach, the guy, the messenger who works for them, give the guy lashes. The Bezdin do an action. But they violated. They were instructed not to give any judgment to the person who was forced against the will. And they went ahead and they told someone to do it.
When
did she have a separate husband? Depends if she was raped or not raped.
On her own.
Oh, willingly. She really, if she's, again, a married lady, if she was married to a Kohen, she would be forbidden to the Kohen. But if she's married to Yisrael, and she was forced, she was raped, she's not forced. Well, not forced. She really was forbidden to her husband.
So,
she was honest, but she was forced, raped.
What if the husband left her? Like, it's like he judged her. He's not Bezdin. He left her as if she did it willingly. He said that he didn't care whether or not it was willingly. He's kind of punching her in a way.
He might not have a right to do that, and he might be still obligated to pay her tsubo. It sounds like the instruction is to the court. That's not. It's like it would sound like it's to the court. I don't know that it would include. any. It's talking. It's not talking to that other person. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Two quick questions.
Yes.
First of all, the case in the base deal. Giving lashes. We're talking about a case where there's hasra, where there's warning to the violator, to the person who's to the honors before they commit the act.
Yeah, the honors was the person who was forced. Was, let's say they were warned. Not to, what were you talking about?
I mean, because
there was one. What? Which case are you talking about?
The case. I thought that based in could only give lashes if the person that they're lashing was warned. And it's just difficult to imagine a situation which there could be honest on the one hand and warning on the other.
Here we're talking about a case that the guy was forced, and Bezin wants to punish the guy even though he was forced. Bezin is wrong.
But can they give lashes without a straw?
You can't give it.
They have no basis for giving lashes even without this law. Because there's no hasra when there's an honor.
So you say they had no right to give lashes to this guy.
Anyway, even if this law was, even according to the Ramban, the Ramban holds that there's no such law at all. They wouldn't be able to give lashes anyway because there's no hasra. Bionis, mosquito.
Right.
I'm just wrong.
Which point?
Okay. The second question is more something that's harder to understand is that this law is based on the case of a lady who's raped. If we decided earlier that somebody, if you tie somebody's hands and feet and put them in front of them above the Zohar, that's not called illness because there's no action, there's no...
He didn't do anything.
There's no... But you're right. But how is that... And the same would be true if you tie your hog down and you stuff a pork on his throat. You know, I mean, there's no... You open the tie him down, you pry his mouth open, and you stuff bacon down his throat.
He didn't do it yet.
There's no mice there at all.
Right.
How is it... It's not clear how a woman who's raped is any different than those two kinds of people. There's no mindset. That's what I've had trouble understanding.
Oh, you're saying. Okay. Your question. You're looking at it like she was forced. She didn't do anything. But she was.
There was no mindset.
But she was still involved. She was involved in this action. She might not have. She was raped, but she was a participant against her will.
As much as the guy who has bacon stepped down his throat. No, I mean, it doesn't
see what you're asking. So what did she really do? That's your question. What did she really do?
There was no mindset involved. Just like if you tie a guy down, you know, and put him in front of a Vodazora, you tie him in a prostrating position, and you throw him down in front of a Vodazora. He's not, you know, there's no mindset he's doing.
Yeah, the only question is the fact that at the end of the day is, she did have relations. She did have relations with somebody. So
I think it's for this reason that it's that I would agree with the opinion that says that the Torah is coming not to talk to Beis Din, but to talk to other people like the husband, that he shouldn't treat the wife differently after this happened because she was forced. And yet a husband could still feel that he would treat the wife differently, even though it was against her will, because this happened to her. And the Torah is coming to say to the husband, maybe to other people in the community, no, don't treat her differently.
You say the way the Ramban is learning that it's just talking that she's innocent, and that's talking to the whole community, to everyone.
Or
the more so based on supposed to be the representation of the people, but it's supposed to be how Hashem made laws, and not every person is able to carry out the laws. Based on the kind of the not only the enforcer of the laws, but also the way that the laws, that Hashem's laws connect to the people. So maybe if you combine both of them, the way the Beis Din carries out the law should be how the people relate to it. So if the Beis Din isn't punishing her, then the people should learn from that if she's not punished by Beis Din, she's not, we shouldn't
judge her. See, you even pointed a Rambam with something like that. Very good. I just want to, the last point, what the Mincha Surah says, I want to get to, he says, he talks about a case that the Rambam says, the Torah says you're not allowed to muzzle an animal when it does work, when it works with food, whether it's food that's attached to a ground or food that's detached to a ground. You're not allowed to, Alan and I prepared this, you're not allowed to muzzle the animal, to keep the animal away from eating from that food. You see the great mercy of the Torah, obviously. And the Rambam says, and if you scream to the animal, let's say the animal doesn't have a muzzle, and you scream, and you're creating that a artificial muzzle, because you scream to the animal, don't get away from that food, and therefore the animal refrains from eating the food. It's also, we look at that, you also would get malchus for that. If you muzzle the animal, the action of muzzling an animal, put a muzzle on, and the animal is muzzled, that's called a law that has malchus. And if you scream at the animal, as a result of that, the animal doesn't eat from the food, also would get lashes. So the Mefarshim ask, if you scream at the animal, you only spoke, you didn't do an action. Why should you get malchus for screaming at the animal? So the Magen Mishnah gives two answers. One answer he gives is because through your screaming, an action was done. The animal's mouth was sealed. So that we can count as like an action. Like you did an action. If as a result of your words, an action happened, it's like you pressed the button. I spoke, and that's considered enough of an action.
It's hard to understand. Can't you say the same thing about Beis Din, the Shaliach for the Beis Din? The Shaliach has no mind of his own to act contrary to the rule.
Excellent. So that's the question of the Mitzvah Shinnah. Excellent. Alan's question. Alan, why shouldn't the Beis Din get malchus? The last few lines of the Mincha Sinah. Since through their word the action happened, the action was happened, they follow his word. So I wanted to say a chiluk. I want to make a decision. You hear the question? The question is, if we say, if you scream at the animal does an action as a result of you screaming at it, it muzzles its mouth, that's considered your action, and therefore you get malchus. So if Beis Din tells the shliach, the messenger, don't punish, go punish the guy, so we should consider that as an action of Beis Din, and Beis Din should be malicious. So I wanted to, and because the Rambam's of the opinion is that even the Rambam's of, and also the Rambam's of the opinion, So I want to say like this. There's a difference between an animal and a human being. If you tell an animal doesn't have a mind of its own. So you could say that if I tell an animal, I scream at an animal, don't eat the food. The animal refrains. That's, you connect that refraining from eating as that's me. Because animals, it doesn't have its mind of its own. But when someone else has a mind of its own, if I tell a person, someone else, to go ahead and give a punishment to the other person, you can't say that his action is my action. He's his own person. Really, there's a kind of ancient of the Varavera. You're not supposed to listen to the Beis Din when Beis Din tells you to do something wrong. But even though you're acting as a shliach of Beis Din, you follow the Beis Din, but you can't say that his action is my action because he's an independent party. He has his own mind of his own. So maybe that could be why Beis Din will not give malchus. When Beis Din gives an instruction to the shliach, to the messenger, Beis Din will not get malchus. Now, the way the Mincha Shchinah here brings down, see, the Magid Mishnah says two possibilities why, by the case of when a person screams at an animal, that the person who screwed with the animal will get lashes if the animal stops eating as a result of his screams. One is, he says, that the screaming creates action, created that the animal prevented, was like a muzzle, because the animal stopped. That's answer number one thing he says. And that's why I said it in action. The other thing he says is, you see, the question is, akima fasayim, when you move your lips, is that considered, moving your lips, is that considered an action? When I piss, I do nothing, it's not an action. Something's left in my house, I left it there before Pesach, and then it remains there, that's not an action. But if I'm moving my lips, it's not considered a full action, but it's considered something. Plus, since this prohibition could be violated with an action, by actually putting on a muzzle, so a prohibition that could be violated with an action, even when it's violated without an action, we could give it the same law as an action. I don't know if that's clear. That's not clear. The point is that there's another possibility, the Magen Mishnah says. If you have a prohibition that can be violated with an action, even though in this case you did not do an action, but we will consider it like an action was done. Now the question is how does that fit? The question is so the simple reading of Mincha Chinuch in many places is that the Chinuch would hold that if you could transgress the thing with an action, even when you violate without an action, will still give lashes. If you had a prohibition that could be violated without an action, with an action, even when you violate it without, but once this prohibition has the ability to be violated with an action, that's enough to give lashes for such a violation of the prohibition, even if it's without an action. You hear that? But if you look at the Magen Mishnah inside, it doesn't seem to indicate that to me. It only says, only if it's together with some sort of a speech, some sort of a dibur. If it would be a total inaction, even if you could violate the prohibition with an action, but if you did only nothing, you didn't even do a movement of the lips, I don't know that that would be considered, that also would get malchus. Okay, the second point needs a little more clarification, but I think the first point was pretty clear. We wish everyone a beautiful week. Time for Maya, if I don't want to...